Welcome to another episode of Trench Tips with me, Zach Thompson, and my host,
Jack Frimston.
Beautiful. I love the way we do that. It's like a real...
Yeah, it works well, doesn't it?
Yeah. This week, I wanted to talk about one of my favourite subjects. When I say my favourite, it's probably the one that I get asked about most commonly in our team, because it's probably the most common objection that I certainly get down here in Bournemouth. I don't know if you're the same in Manchester, Jack, but it's, of course, the email objection.
The email objection.
I mean, they come in all shapes and sizes. They come at all parts of the call. You think you've got someone, send me an email.
An objection as old as time.
Exactly. At the start of the call, you get, oh, not right now. Could you send me an email? And how do we approach the different scenarios and different times the email objection comes up and strengthen our chances of getting the best results? So firstly, Jack, probably a question for you. If you're getting an email objection, what is that telling you?
If you're getting an email objection, it generally means that they're not interested. Now, the way to look at this is you want to look upstream. If you get to the end, if it's somebody that says, send me an email, they're probably not receptive to sales calls. They don't like that pattern interrupt, whatever, if it's at the start. Let's not focus on that because those people, we don't even know if we can solve their problems anyway. If you get to the end, you've had a good conversation, you find out they've got a problem, you find out they're motivated to fix that problem, you know where they want to be in the future, all of these things, say, brilliant, okay. And you get into whatever kind of close or whatever you do to arrange a meeting and they go, it all sounds good, but I'd like to see something first. Something has gone wrong along the way. Typically, you need to look upstream to focus on, are they emotionally bought in enough? Are they motivated? Is this problem actually a burning problem? Where's the impact of this problem? All of these different things. If they're asking for an email, typically something has gone wrong along the way. Is there anything that you wanted to add on that, Zach?
Interesting. Yes, I would agree. I think you're probably, more often than not, lacking some sort of like emotional component. So some part of, oh yeah, I'm in a lot of pain here. Because it'd be very... If you think of other scenarios in your life when you really genuinely want to fix something and you're motivated to do so, you wouldn't just say, I'll get some information. You'd probably be more on the line of acting. Now, obviously, there's anomalies to that. There's certain mindsets, like our own operations director says many a time, that he actually likes to have a few things to kind of digest first. He doesn't just make impulsive decisions. So there are things there, but there's probably ways that we would deal with them and the ways we have dealt with it as well.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the practical element of this then. So let's come up with a few different scenarios and talk about how we deal with them. So let's say, Jack, you've made a phone call, you've done your pattern interrupt, you get in through your 30 seconds, they just about let you have that 30 seconds, and they say, you know what, can you send me an email? So right at the start, what's your response to that?
There's a couple that we really, really like. I think one of them is 9 times out of 10, when somebody asks me to send them an email, what do they really mean?
They mean they're not interested.
They mean they're not interested. So if I send you an email, what does that mean for you?
Well, I'll definitely look at it.
You'll definitely look at it?
Yeah. I wouldn't waste your time.
Okay, so if I go away and I spend 30 minutes using my best GCSE English, Mrs. Gladwin's going to be so proud of me that the email that I'm going to send you, what are the chances that you're going to reply to that email?
Well, if you've gone to that much effort, I will definitely endeavour to get back to you. It just depends how busy I am.
Okay, people have told me that before. And then they see it and they think, what a scumbag salesman. I'm going to ghost you for the rest of my life. What are the chances of that happening?
What are you putting in your emails?
that's another podcast.
I think the beauty of that is sales, I think for a long time, has been here's decision maker, here's lowly salesperson sort of talking up like, please, can I borrow some time? Please, can I have some more, sir? Like Oliver Twist or something. Mm. Whereas this straight away challenges that and puts you on, look, I'm as important as you here, Mr. or Mrs. or they or them. Like I'm here to also like get I'm going to put some time in here and I want something in return. So what are you going to get from me? And what have you found is the actual outcome of being more like that?
They're either not interested or, and you've kind of disqualify, and that's really all a salesperson's job is to do, is to qualify or disqualify as quick as possible. And if you challenge behavior, I think the key word is challenging behavior. People don't want to do that. And you are right. It's because of the perception of salespeople and where we are in the hierarchy, in the pecking order. There's a slide I use when I'm doing sales training, and it's my face superimposed on a dog's body on my hands and my knees, just walking with somebody with a dog's collar around me. And it's just, remember that you aren't your prospect's bitch at any point. It's 50-50.
Wow. Beautiful. How does that bit go down, that slide?
It goes down quite well, surprisingly. I think challenging behavior and calling things out. And I think if you go into those sales calls and you say, actually, it is a 50-50 relationship of me trying to help someone and you, someone that needs help, a lot shifts in that perspective. And it would probably be more than you think in terms of your tonality, your pace, the questions you ask.
I've had it before where a guy said to me, I'm probably in that 9 out of 10 where I probably wouldn't get back to you. I said, okay, well, do you think I should write you this email then? Probably not. Fine. Wasn't so hard, was it? And then we both laughed and agreed and went off on our way. So, yeah, I think one of the important things that you said there that salespeople need to remember is a no or a yes is a good outcome. The bit in the middle is the bit when you're screwed, when you're chasing emails forever that no one had any interest in dealing with. So let's move into the other one then, Jack. So maybe we should switch roles here. So let's say we're more towards kind of the middle of the call or something like that. We're perhaps getting something out of it. Maybe we're missing the problem in detail. And then someone says, you know what? This sounds interesting, but can you send me an email first? So should we try that one?
Yeah. This sounds interesting, but can you send me an email first?
I can. Can I just grab your email, actually?
Yeah. I don't know if I should say it out loud. I'm going to get bombarded with cold emails. It's jackf@weevermeeting.com.
Perfect. Okay. And Jack, just so I'm not sending you over absolutely everything and boring you to death, what's maybe one thing that you're struggling with right now, and I'll focus on that?
It would probably be to get in front of the right people.
In front of the right. Okay. Can you give me an example of what that means?
So it's more a case of like we do have a consistent trollop of leads coming in, but we are finding that we're spending more and more time having these calls that lead to nowhere.
Okay, that sounds quite frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and has that been? It's a bit of a personal question. Do you mind? Well,
I mind. I don't mind.
Okay. How long have you felt like that for?
Maybe the last 3 months.
Three months. Okay. And have you got close to fixing it?
It's improved since we started, but the trollop of leads just still isn't good enough.
Okay. So would you say it's improved on the way to perfection?
I wouldn't say perfection, no.
If it stayed how it is right now for another 3 months, would you be happy?
No.
Okay. I suppose last thing to ask then, very, very challenging. You're probably going to want to punch me in the face for asking it, but I've got to ask it.
You can ask it.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Have you given up?
No, not yet.
Okay. You got your diary there?
Oh, I do. I'll marry you. Here's my diary. So talk us through the first, there's probably a couple of key elements in that if we break it down. So talk us through the first bit. If we go back to what you said originally, what was the first thing?
Okay. So objections in the classical framework. So one thing to remember with objections, if you're getting them, you've done something wrong. That's the first thing to remember. So the best way to not get objections is for you to bring them up first. So that should be part of the call, right? But we're not in that bit. So that's the first thing to remember. So the email objections come up, which normally is like a fob off, right? So we dealt with that one before. That's the 9 out of 10 one. The other one is that we think there's some interest here, but actually, you know, are we there yet? And we're kind of missing this problem piece. So you can really use this as a way of angling in and getting the problem. So you can say, yeah, that's fine. I probably need to focus on one problem in this just so I'm not wasting your time. What's maybe one problem that you're struggling with right now? And then we get that problem. So if you look at the board behind me, again, get on YouTube if you've not got access to it. But the first thing I'm going to get is the problem. And then all I did was treated it like we were at the start of the call again. Did you notice that? So as soon as you gave me the problem, I just went back to this. Okay, can you give me an example of that? That sounds quite frustrating. Where would you be if we fixed it in 3 months? Would you, or you did, or you stayed as you are in 3 months? Yeah, I wouldn't be happy with it. Okay, great. You got your diary there.
Yeah.
You know, there was some challenging that went on in there, some tough questions, but really we just used the email objection to almost go back in, like just a big loop round to the start of the call.
That's it's kind of like a bit of like a doctor's surgery. Do you know what I mean? They've tried operating. It's like, oh, we think we've got the bullet out, and then it's like ding ding ding, we've got to go back in, we've got to do it again, like that Mr. Bean scene with the M&M. It's like we're going back into it, and that's a good place to go, because if something hasn't happened and you're looking upstream to say, what have we missed, what isn't right here, well, actually take it back and really understand them and really find out if they're motivated. They may be interested.
Do you know what's interesting? And it'll show if people listen to the whole thing. Let's do the LinkedIn clickbait part right now.
Okay.
Right. Let's see if anyone calls us out on this one, right? So I'm going to say this to you.
Feel free, if you do see it, to call us out all over LinkedIn.
Call us out and say that you heard us do it at the wrong part.
God.
Right. You know what?
Someone's got a drama degree. Sorry, go again.
You know what? I think I've got probably the best email objection handle turnaround to meeting close that's out there. I think I've got the best one. I don't mind saying it. I think I've got the best one.
Will you share it with me?
Stephen Bartlett music.
Trailer. Yeah, beautiful. I love it. Diary of a CEO. Whoa.
It's
Trench Tips.
Yeah. Oh. They,
yeah. Yeah, I like it. Okay. Is there anything that we're missing there on the email objection? I mean, you could probably explore this for hours and hours and on end.
There are lots. The first one is like, is it a fob off? If it is, be honest with yourself, because you're just wasting your own time. And you're also probably putting something in your CRM that's going to like piss your boss off. And if it's your own business, you're going to put something in your CRM that's pissing you off. The other one is if it's not, and it's just a bit of like a stall, or then you can use it to go back in and get the problem and then use it to push the call forward. So there's almost like two lanes you can take with it. And really, if you're aware enough and self-aware enough, you should be able to know which lane is appropriate.
Okay.
So I think that's all I would say. Would you add anything to that?
Well, I would just discuss the next bit. So you've gone back into the problem. You've taken to the email. I am really interested. I've got a business partner. I want to sit down with him about it, and I know that you probably combat it, blah blah blah, whatever. They're very adamant that they are interested, they have a problem, they are motivated, they need to see something first, and then they're gonna maybe reply and arrange something. That's what they're saying. Okay. Just send it over. I don't have my diary in front of me. Yeah, I know I want to sit down, I don't have my diary in front of me. Email me something over, I'll reply with a candy link, a date, whatever. So it's that next steps bit, because you're getting butterflies. Fucking, this guy wants to book a meeting with me. I've just handled his objection. God, I'm great. And then it's the next steps bit. And it's just outlining what you're going to do and where you're going to take it. So where would you take it?
All right. So I'd probably put my best Tommy Shelby voice on.
Okay.
All right. I'd lean in like this and I'd say, look, I don't mind sending you an email. All right. And then they start thinking, fucking hell, this guy means business, yeah? And I say, when I've sent you this email, what's going to happen then? And you say?
I'm going to reply with my Candly link.
All right. What happens if you don't?
I will.
But if you don't?
Well, if I don't, then you could call me back next week and I'll have my diary in front of me.
Okay, I'm going to call you
on the second week of the first month on a phone, on a telephone call.
Private number.
Private number. Birmingham. And what are you going to do for me then?
I'm going to book that goddamn meeting, Shelby.
Really, what we're saying is, I'm going to send you an email, right? And then what? Well, then I'm going to read it. Then what? Well, then I'm going to pass it around to people if it's of interest. Okay. How will I know if it's of interest? Well, we'll let you know. Okay. But then the other part of this is, once I've sent you this email, what do you think I'm going to do as a salesperson? You're probably going to want to follow up with me. Okay. Are you comfortable with me doing that? With you following up with me? Yes. Well, yeah, I suppose it's part of the process. Because the thing is, you can just say no to me. But if you're saying send me an email, you actually mean you're quite happy to be followed up with. I just want to make sure we're all comfortable with this. Yeah, we're all comfortable. Okay, so let's do this. And I'll send you this email. How long do you think you need to process it, Jack?
A week.
A week, okay. So a week. So in a week's time, this time, I'm going to call you. Yeah? I'll send you a little invite to your diary so you know to expect my call, so you can email me back if you want and say I'm not interested.
Love
or
that.
What you can do is save the number. When I call you, you can ignore it. I'll leave you a voicemail. If you don't get back to me, I'll assume you're not interested. Does that sound fair enough?
Sounds absolutely fair. And I think it's one of those things. A lot of people like worry when they do the callback or the follow-up call. Hi, it's Jack here. I was just catching up, really. I sent you a... Whereas if you do all of this correctly along the way, you can then eliminate all of that and I go, Zach, it's Tommy Shelby again. There's a lot of, do you know what I mean? It's that bloody sales.
Oh,
it's that annoying sales bloke. I said I was going to call you at 7 p.m.
I didn't know you could do Tommy.
Well,
that was good.
Do it again. No, I'm not doing it. You can't push me into a corner like this. But you say, and then they say, right, okay, I'll call you on the 7th at 7. And then you call back and you say, Zach, it's Tommy. I said I'd call you on the 7th at 7th. Did you get my... And then you can follow into the conversation like that. It's just making your life easier for the future. The last thing you want to be doing is calling people back. I was just curious if you got my...
Oh.
Of course you are curious. I think that's a great place to leave it.
I know Benjamin's got an interesting point on this as well, Mr. Danahy. Mm. You cannot send the email and call back and say, did you get my email? And sometimes people say yes. So it will gauge how like how interested. If they really wanted one, they'll probably say, no, I didn't get one. The issue you've probably got is when you don't send one and people say, yeah, I got it. And I'm not interested. Not interested in what? I didn't send you anything.
It's good. I like it a lot. I like it a lot indeed.
Right. Let's leave it there. Email objection. I hope that helps people. If there's anything else that people are struggling with, give me and Jack a shout on LinkedIn. Anything you want us to focus on future trench tips. We always like to dissect certain things. So, yeah, feel free to chuck any questions over. I've been Zach Thompson.
I've been Jack. No, it's not.
What all, Tyler?
I've been Jack Frimpson. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.